When one thinks of poverty in America, poverty in Michigan, what images come to your mind? Where are poor people living? Chances are an image of an inner city neighborhood first flashes in your mind. Well, that would be wrong. The Brookings Institute this week released its study. It's called Confronting Suburban Poverty in America. Bottom line, poverty is moving into the suburbs, both here in Michigan and all across the country. The suburbs are home to the largest and fastest growing poor population in the country. So joining me to talk about just what this study means in terms of how we think of poverty in our state is Scott Allard. He's an associate professor at the University of Chicago and a research affiliate at the National Poverty Center at the University of Michigan. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, what do these new Brookings numbers tell us all about where poverty is living right now in Michigan?
Well, the Brookings report's focused primarily on Southeast Michigan and the Detroit metro area, but some of the trends that it describes would be relevant in a lot of other urban areas in Michigan. The report talks about how Detroit, like many other cities, has seen a shift in the location of poor families and poor individuals over the last several decades. And today, as you noted, more poor people, people living below the federal poverty line, live in suburbs of Detroit than in the city of Detroit. And while this is relatively recent on our radar screen, these are trends that have been building for some time.
And what is behind this shift to the suburbs?
Right. Nationally, this phenomenon has happened, as I said, in most, if not all, metropolitan areas, and there's several factors that drive it. One is the significant change in our labor market, not only since the Great Recession, but changes that had been in place before then. Changes that have made it harder to find a good-paying job if you don't have a college degree. Changes that make it difficult to find a good-paying job if you don't have a car or are able to get around on public transit. Changes in the housing market have been a big factor in many communities. Not only have people lost value in their homes, but the industries related to the housing market, whether it's Home Depot and durable goods or contractors or landscapers, all kind of the home-related industries have taken a hit. Immigration is a big factor. Many immigrants to the U.S. today, legal immigrants to the U.S. today, are working but are working poor and increasingly locate in suburbs as opposed to cities. And that makes sense because suburbs have been a place where job growth has occurred in previous decades. And so, you know, there are more jobs in suburbs in many places than in cities for low-skill workers. And a final piece, and it depends on where you are. Detroit's actually a good example of this, that part of the trend has been families moving from central cities out to suburban areas, looking for better schools, safer neighborhoods, and other amenities that are desirable if you're trying to raise a family.
And I note that increased mobility of housing vouchers is a factor. Talk about that.
Yeah, so that's an issue that in Chicago we have been talking quite a bit about, and I'm sure there's some of this in Detroit, although I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. But as we've shifted from building kind of high-rise developments, public housing developments, and shifted away to a more of a voucher-based model, there's been a movement of housing assistance recipients into suburban communities, and they're moving for the same reasons that many people have moved. As I said, you know, safer schools, possibly, you know, greater job opportunities, better parks and recreational spaces. You know, so it's motivated by a lot of the same concerns that drive, you know, most everybody's housing decisions.
I'm speaking with Scott Allard, who's an associate professor at the University of Chicago and a research affiliate at the National Poverty Center at the University of Michigan, as we look at a Brookings Institute report called Confronting Suburban Poverty in America. Scott, can you give us a sense of what does poverty in Michigan look like compared to other states?
Well, the poverty rates in Detroit Metro are much higher than in other metro areas. The city of Detroit, I think the poverty rate is close to 35%, and that's increased fairly significantly since 2000 and has been, you know, very high over the last several decades. By comparison, I think the poverty rate in Chicago is, you know, right around 20 or 22%. So you get a feel for kind of, you know, two comparable metro areas, kind of the differences there. The poverty rate in the suburbs of Detroit is much lower. And this is one of the important points to think about when you're looking at the changing geography of poverty, is that there may be more poor people in the suburbs of Detroit And there are many more actually today than in the city.
So
but
the
poverty
number.
Rate is much lower. It's only about 12% overall. Now you can find pockets in places near Pontiac, maybe in the western edge of Wayne County, maybe in some of the suburban communities just north of the city where poverty rates may be, you know, well over 20%. But overall, in the suburban parts of the metro, the poverty rate is about a third as much as in the city itself.
Because so few people are living in the city, so the poverty rate is higher, but the total number of poor people is higher in the suburbs?
Right. So this is where Detroit is a little bit different than some other metros, where the city has actually lost quite a bit of population. And not just in the last 10 years, but over the last 40 years. And the suburban population grew extensively, you know, between the 60s and, well, the 40s and 50s, but, but picking up speed in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And so what is happening in Detroit is not only do you have people moving out of the city, but you actually have a fairly large suburban population that's just becoming poorer. So some of this is driven by people moving out. Some of it is driven just by people who have been suburban residents becoming poor, losing a job, not being able to find work. The fact that many people have moved out of Detroit have meant that those who are left behind are often those with the fewest resources and maybe least likely to move or to be able to have choices to move. And that's why the poverty rate is so much higher in the city, in addition to all the other economic factors that are in place.
And Grand Rapids was included in this Brookings Institute report. I note the 14.3% increase in urban poverty is the highest of the 95 urban areas studied in the whole report, and a 5.8% increase in suburban poverty.
Yeah, those numbers really reflect what I think you see in the western part of the state, where you have smaller urban centers or municipalities that have seen very significant increase in poverty over the last decade. You know, again, these are trends that have been building for some time, and that's starting to spill out into areas just outside these smaller cities, in places that really we don't think of as having a poverty problem.
Scott, I want to ask you, why do you think the myth of suburban prosperity has been such a stubborn one?
Right. Well, it's an interesting question. And the Brookings report and the reports in the book get at this, but I think this is something that scholars are talking quite a bit about as well. When you think about the history of poverty in the U.S., particularly in the post-war era, we think of poverty as being primarily an urban or a rural phenomenon.
Right.
And you can see this when you look back at discussions in the War on Poverty in the 60s. Work by Michael Harrington, the book The Other America, focused largely on cities and urban poverty and on rural poverty. And the myth of suburbs, as you kind of noted, the myth of suburbs is one of homogeneity and prosperity, kind of, predominantly white, predominantly affluent areas. And that never was really true, but that was the kind of the pop cultural myth. And you see it actually in shows like Mad Men, where frankly people talk about the city of New York, where the show is shot, as being kind of a dangerous place, and the suburbs, in the 60s and when the show is at now, the suburbs are safe, wealthy places. So that never was completely true. And you can find, evidence of this. It's just that our popular imagery was very different than the reality. And I think it's been hard for us to push past that, because those myths and narratives powerfully shape how media covers poverty. It powerfully shapes the ideas we have about what it means to be poor and who is poor. And what the Brookings reports push us to think about is really a reconsideration of this and a change perhaps in our discourse around poverty in America, that poverty is not just a central city phenomenon. It's not something that only affects racial or ethnic minorities, but it's something that actually is a phenomenon that affects families all over our areas, urban, suburban, and rural, and affects people that many of us know. It's not something that's just isolated from our daily experience anymore.
And is there, even if it's unconscious, a strong streak of racism behind all of this?
Well, I think it's hard to disentangle the stereotypes about poverty and race. And in our country, the popular imagery and the popular and some of the rhetoric around poverty issues is heavily race coded. And I think one of the challenges moving forward is for us to have a discussion about what do we do now that poverty is starting to increase in a dramatic fashion in suburban areas. How do we solve these issues? And part of the challenge we'll face in doing this is there still are real deep racial racially segregated issues of poverty in central cities. And so it's not just a matter of funneling resources away from cities into suburbs. You know, even though poverty has increased dramatically in suburbs, it hasn't gone away in cities. So one of the challenges we'll face as a society and as metro areas and as states is how do we address these issues in a way that still recognizes that there's a lot of need that remains in cities, but at the same time tries to think about how we can provide low-income suburban residents with the resources and the programs they need to grab the next rung on the ladder.
Scott Allard's associate professor at the University of Chicago, and he's a research affiliate of the National Poverty Center at the University of Michigan. Scott, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you.